My guest at this time is Dr. Aidan McQuaid. He's the director of Anti-Slavery International. The group has made news in recent days by warning that earthquake-ravaged Nepal faces the scourge of human trafficking during one of its most difficult hours. And Dr. McQuaid, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Why does the aftermath of something like a devastating earthquake raise the danger of human traffickers coming in and looking for victims?
Because two reasons, essentially. First of all, the human traffickers are already there. And secondly, the social safety nets and the fabric of the state, the legal protections, the rule of law protections, which had existed prior to the earthquake, weak as they may be, have been weakened even further by the devastation and confusion caused by the earthquake. So it's in these situations the risk is considerably increased. And as I say, we know there already has been a considerable reality of trafficking from Nepal. So our concern is that this will be used as an opportunity for unscrupulous people in order to exploit even more impoverished ones.
How bad is human trafficking there already?
I mean, in recent years and months, I think many of your listeners will have seen and read reports of forced labor of South Asian men in Qatar and another of the Gulf states, many of them in preparation for the 2022 World Cup. There's tens of thousands of those South Asian men or Nepalese who have gone to the Middle East in search of decent work in order to help their families. In other parts of South Asia, there's tens of thousands of Nepali women and girls have been trafficked for domestic work, again in the hope of decent work for themselves so they can help their families, but oftentimes finding themselves in situations of domestic servitude or worse again, into situations of sexual exploitation across South Asia. So it already is affecting tens of thousands of people across the region. And now that their lives have been even further impoverished, the risk of this exploitation occurring further is going to be radically increased.
Obviously, Dr. McQuaid, it's easy to see in a devastating environment like in Nepal right now, and obviously the situation there normally isn't fantastic. The promise of a better life is probably very appealing. What's their general approach? How do they swoop in and convince people to go with them?
It's very often the people who end up being trafficked will have gone themselves to the ones who do the trafficking. Many of these people who are actually traffickers are presenting themselves as options for legitimate employment, recruitment agencies, and the such like. But the people who are being exploited and trafficked aren't stupid people. They're desperate. One person that we met a few years ago who was preparing to go to the Gulf to work, he said, "I know this is the choice between the frying pan and the fire. It's just none of us know which is which. We know that we can live in abject poverty here in Nepal, or we can risk going overseas and maybe finding decent work." And some people do find decent work. But that is the reality, that in the midst of some options for decent work overseas or in different countries, there are many people who are traffickers who are using the hope and the expectation that people have of a better life as a means to exploit them. And you can only imagine now that the country has been so much more devastated by this earthquake or these earthquakes that people are going to be even more desperate for looking for better options by which they can help their families get out of poverty.
Is there any way for them to determine which ones are legitimate employment opportunities and which ones are not?
I mean, there's considerable need for reform of the international labour market. There needs to be considerable more thought about how we can facilitate safe migration of people looking for decent work. There needs to be, and Western countries should think about assisting poorer countries to do this. There needs to be establishments of systems of labour attachés associated with the various embassies in the countries to which people travel. There needs to be much greater regulation of these businesses and some proper investigation of the sort of people who are carrying them out. For ordinary Nepalis who are seeking work, it's very difficult. You can seek advice about who's a good agent, who's not a good agent, but it's still very much a lottery about whether you get good advice, or even if you have got good advice, whether it remains good advice whenever you travel yourself. So what was required is much greater investment by international governments, international donors into this question of safe migration and assistance of governments like the Nepalese government in order to strengthen its infrastructure, to strengthen its the capacity of its police and other agencies in order to properly regulate these people. And it's also important for international business to try and weed out the most egregious abusers from anything to do with their supply chains.
A couple of quick questions remaining for Dr. Aidan McQuaid. And Dr. McQuaid, once, whether it's adults or young people, have gone with some of these unscrupulous organizations or human traffickers, how difficult is it to ever get them back?
If you end up in the Gulf States, for example, one of the great difficulties is you will be subject to what's called the kafala system, which is a system encoded in the law of many of the Gulf States, which means that you cannot either leave or change employment within that country, within, for example, Qatar, or even leave the country without the say-so of your employer. So at the moment, across the Gulf, there are tens of thousands of men, in particular men, often also many women who are working in domestic work and other sectors, whose family have been affected by the earthquake and are begging to be able to go home to see if their family are alive and well or who has been killed and injured and help them reconstruct, and they are not being allowed to leave. So it's extremely difficult to get out of some of these situations of forced labor once you get into them.
And finally, sir, obviously Nepal right now flooded with genuine relief workers. Is there any danger of the people there not trusting the legitimate people there to help as they try to guard against the unscrupulous people?
I would hope not, but I think one of the things that that the international agencies who are there, I used to work in that sort of field myself in the past, so I have enormous respect for folk who do that. But one of the things I think they should do is try and work with Nepalese organizations, Nepalese NGOs, and also with the Nepalese government whenever they are trying to deliver their work, and also so that they are aware of what are the dynamics within society so that the aid that they deliver is delivered equitably across the nation. Sometimes we've seen in the past that people who come from the Dalit community are excluded from aid efforts, humanitarian aid efforts and development efforts. So it's very important to make sure that there's equitable distribution of aid, as well as ensuring that you're working closely with government agencies and non-governmental agencies in order to help re-strengthen the capacity of the state so that it becomes sustainable again socially, as well as environmentally, and as well as in terms of the physical infrastructure of the place.
The major, major challenge. Dr. McQuaid, thank you for the work you're doing, and thank you very much for your time with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Dr. Aidan McQuaid is Director of Anti-Slavery International. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.